Okay, so we're continuing on Nachman Beis and Aleph. The Gemara had used one of the sources for Shlichos, meaning the Pasuk Meshachto Asov Ben Arbayim. The Pasuk seems to describe that there's everybody Shechting. Everybody Shechting, everyone's holding the knife together. It must be that one person is doing the Shechting and everybody else is being represented by the Shechting. Okay, this teaches us the principle of Shlichos. So the Gemara goes back and forth and back and forth to try to darshan some of the Pasuk of the Parshas Bo back from the Pesach, to see whether these are really good sources for shlichus. Then the Gemara throws in another possible source, the pasuk v'yichul have ish selavei sovos selavayis, that describes that one person seems to be doing the job for everybody. One person is somehow buying a share and representing everybody. And the Gemara says, it's not so simple. And maybe that pasuk is not really the source of shlichus. Maybe that pasuk v'yichul have ish selavei sovos is teaching me something else. What is that something else? That's really where our sugya begins. So we pick up a daf and beis and an aleph. The first one is the Amr of Yitzchok. It's about 12 lines, so give or take from the top. So the Amr of Yitzchok, Ish Zoche, V'lo HaKotan Zoche. If Yitzchok says that we have to be very weary before we derive anything from that pasuk about Shlichos, is that pasuk may be necessary to teach me a whole other story? Ish Zoche, the reason why that pasuk is there is to teach us the halacha, and only a man, only someone over the age of a mitzvah, can be Zoche for Korban Pesach purposes. Whereas a katan, somebody under the age of a mitzvah, cannot be zoicha for korban pesach purposes. Now, what does it mean to be zoicha for korban pesach purposes? So we know that in order to eat from korban pesach, you have to be what's called min hamenuyin. You have to be somebody who actually owns a share in that korban pesach. So it sounds like the drush is telling me that only someone over a mitzvah can own a share. Somebody under a mitzvah apparently can't be zoicha. He apparently can't have a share in the korban pesach. That's what it sounds like. At least at this point. So come to Rishonim, we're very bothered with this Gemara, because it sounds in this Gemara that we need a pasuk to teach me this. To teach me that ish zoche v'yena katan zoche. Whenever you need a pasuk to teach me something, the implication is obvious, that lulei the pasuk, if not for the pasuk, so I would have said on my own, I would have said fakir. On my own, I would have said the other way. On my own, I would have said that maybe a katan can be zoche. So the Rishonim are bothered with the question, a katan being zoche? A katan owning property, a katan going to some buying something, acquiring things and owning property. Where do we ever find this concept that a katan has the ability to acquire things? After all, the Gemara says in many places, katan ain lo yad. Katan doesn't have the halacha ability, the lab bardas. He doesn't have the ability to acquire anything. So what's the Gemara pupiling that Russia and the apostle tell me that he can't have a share in the Korban Pesach? Don't mean he can't have a share in the Korban Pesach. People play that a katan doesn't have a yad altogether. He has no ability to buy anything in the Dinei Mamonos. So what's the chiddush of Korban Pesach? So that's the question that we should deal with. So in order for us to appreciate this question, hopefully appreciate some of the answers, so we have to take about 20 steps back and try to understand what are the parameters of this statement, a katan ain lo yad, that a katan can't own property. Is that really a true statement, an absolute true statement, that a katan cannot really own property in Havocha? So we're going to close the month of Kiddush for a little while and try to learn a couple of sugyas. We'll try to do it without the Tosh Bechsav. But the truth is that if you have enough some people here, so we can probably grab some Gemaras off the shelf also. So let's start with a Gemara in Masechet Gittin. Okay, we'll open up with a Gemara in Masechet Gittin. We have another Shas over there. If you want, I'll quickly bring another one to Gemara Gittin. So with Nun Tesem Beis, actually two different sugyas in Masechet Gittin, but enough Nun Tesem Beis. So it's in the middle of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is listing off a whole series of different halachas that were instituted with Bnei Darkei Shalom. Things that are not really true in the Torah, but the Chazal instituted to try to minimize the people's fighting and arguing with one another. So one of the things that Chazal instituted is, if you take a look, it's four lines from the top of the page in the Testament days. Mitzias Chayrish Shaitav Katan, Yesh Ben Mishum Gazel Bnei Dakei Shalom. If a Chayrish Shaitav Katan finds an item, so they're not technically Zocha that item. Normally, if an adult finds an item, if the owner was Mitzias, then the person is Zocha, he acquires the item. So Mitzias Chayrish Shaitav Katan, they never really own the item, and if somebody steals it from them, it's not Gezel D'Araisa, it's only a problem, Gezel D'Araisa Shalom. It's our concern that if the kid found a piece of bubble gum, and now you're going to go and bop him over the head and steal his bubble gum, his father's going to come and bop you over the head, he's going to be killing each other. So therefore, Midrabbanim, D'Araisa Shalom, they instituted that the cotton gets to keep what he found. Rabbi Yossi, or Rabbi Yossi says Gezel Gomer, Rabbi Yossi says, no, it's considered to be real Gezela. So the truth is, the Gemara qualifies it and says, Rabbi Yossi doesn't really seem to make any sense. I mean, Gezel Gomer. How in the world does the cotton have the mechanics to acquire something? He's Engel Yad, he's Lav Bar Das. So the Gemara qualifies Rabbi Yossi and says, Rabbi Yossi just meant it's Gezela Midrabbanim. It's Gezela Midrabbanim. How is he different than the first Tana? The Gemara says, no. The first Tana held, it's not even Gezela Midrabbanim. It's just you shouldn't do it. If you'd come and ask a shayla, should I go and grab this bubble gum away from the kid? So we say, please don't do it. Because I really don't want you to do it. But it's not a gezela derabanan. According to Bielsi, the kid is kona it, albeit midrabanan, and you're a gaza midrabanan. My nafkamina. If at the end of the day, minatayra, it's okay what you're doing, so what's the difference whether we call it gezela derabanan or we call it gezela derabanan? So what's the nafkamina lotsia bidayonim? The person went ahead and stole the bubblegum from the kid. Can the Beis Din actually take him to court? We actually take this person to court and make him return it. So according to Bielsi, yes, because Midrabban, he's a Gazlan. So Vehechas Akzeva, the love of the Rabbanan. According to the Tanakam, according to the Rabbanan, he's not even a Gazlan, not Midrabban, not Midrabbanan. And therefore, if he went ahead and violated the Takonis Acham of Mbeid HaKashom, so we say, no, thank you for not listening to the rabbis. But at the end of the day, we don't have any authority to take the bubblegum away from you. The one thing is crystal clear from the Mishnah and the Gemara that Min HaTorah the Katan has absolutely nothing. Min HaTorah the Katan cannot acquire anything, and the reason is simple: because Ein Lo Yad, Ein Lo Das, La Bar Das. How in the world could you possibly own something if you're at La Bar Das? So if we would just stop at this point, we'd have a absolute crystal clear across the board, no exceptions rule. But we have to go a few blot later in Maseches Gittin, on Daf Samach Dal Amud Beis. Comes the Gemara with a whole complicated, different levels of tanin. The Gemara starts on, first one is the Dover Acher. It's about the two-thirds down on some of the downward days. Amar Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Asi, Tsuror v'zorko, Egos v'noklo, Zoh chaliatzmo v'en zoh chaliacher. If you have a child who's reached a level of understanding that if you give him a rock, he throws it back at you. If you give him a nut, you give a candy, a piece of bubble gum, so then he holds on to it. Namely, it's not a 6-month-old baby. A 6-month-old baby may throw the rock, may throw the nut back, he may eat the rock. But he's old enough to understand what's going on. So then he has the ability to be zocha on things. He can acquire things for himself. The aim zechelachir, but he has no ability to transfer ownership on behalf of somebody else. What would that mean? Let's say if. Normally we know there's an in that I can give you a gift even though you're not here. I can give it to somebody else on your behalf. So that person who I'm giving to, the person who's representing the person who's out of town, has to be a gadol. If he's somebody who's just simply a tzror bezorka egos v'noplo, he's old enough to be zeichat things for himself, but he's not quite old enough to be zeichat things for other people. What if chayfetz machziru liachashah zeichat ben liatzbo ben liachayrim? If he's a little bit old, he's not yet a god, he's not over by mitzvah yet, but he's old enough to understand that I give him something, I say to him, listen, I'm going to let you play with my item for a few minutes, then you can give it back to me. So he's old enough to understand what that means to give it back, to give his toy back when the game's over. So then he's old enough even to be zeich on behalf of others. If he doesn't understand, he thinks that once it's his, and he's going to throw a temper tantrum, take it away from him, so then he's in that in-between stage. So basically, what Rabbi Yehuda sets up for us, that there are multiple stages of children. So you have a child who doesn't understand anything whatsoever. He takes rocks and he throws it back to you. He takes nuts, eats it. We have no idea. He doesn't know anything. He can't differentiate between anything. So it's a child. There's no koach and dini moments whatsoever. Anything you give to him is bottle. But if he has a little bit of understanding, it's rabbi zorah. If he doesn't know, he can be zorah liatzmo. That's the second stage. The third stage is, when it's chayv is above zero, then it's zech b'latz and mechem. And the fourth stage, when it turns by mitzvah, then mamash liel, then he can do whatever, everything and anything. When Rabbi Asi reported back to Shmuel When Rabbi Yehuda reported back to Shmuel what he had been taught from Rabbi Asi, so Amali Shmuel responded back to Rabbi Yehuda, Dabada Achasi, that those two stages of difference between whether he knows how to take a nut and throw a rock, or whether he knows how to return items, there's no difference. Dabada Achasi, the halachas are the same. What does that mean? My Dabada Achasi, to what extent are they the same? Amrav Chizda Echad Zevi, Echad Zev, Zech Liatzvin, Zech Lecheirim. The Chizda says, no matter how old he is, until he's mamish bar mitzvah, he can't be zoicha for achirim. So when all the dust settles in a very, very technical detail, like this on the rhyme, is there a window of time in the child's life where he's under bar mitzvah and he can still be zoicha for other people? But everybody agrees that there is a stage of time when he can't be zoicha for himself. So this is a big, big problem. Because we just had a Gemara five letter earlier, that says, Mechitzias chair shed v'kotun, is mamish gornish. It's nothing. Maybe gezel d'rabbanan. Maybe. But nothing more than that. In the way we pass, it's not even gezel d'rabbanan. It's gornish. It's not zeich rot. It's b'nei dake shalom. So how do we resolve that mishnah daf min tes with this gemara and daf samach? What's the difference between the two sugyas? So basically, what the Rishonim say, the difference is a very, very simple piece of information. So Tosa spells it. Rashi already begins to spell it out. Tosa spells it out. So if we take a look, where Tosa says it the most clearly. Yeah, so Tosa is in the bottom Tosas, the very, very bottom Tosas. So Tosa starts out by saying the following assumption. Mashma, the last Tosa, Shani Mishnah Muslims, Mashma, the Rabbi Yehuda of Rav Chizda Pligi, it sounds from the sugya, again, from some of the kasha, some of the shabbatai in the sugya, that this issue is really deraisadic issues. Half the Amoraim say bideraisi zoche for himself, and half the Amoraim say he could sometimes bideraisi zoche for other people. In fact, there is a kasha, says, what's going on? What's the difference between the sugya daf samach dalet and the sugya daf nun tes? Says does in one fell swoop here's the difference. Hocha, the das aches mach the osam shiny. Says tells us a big difference. The difference is that in daf nun tes the sugya mitzvah chayushet v'katan, the katan is trying to do it all by himself. There's nobody else around. There's a lost item here. He's picking it up. He's trying to be kind of something in his own two feet. So then the locha says he can't do that. Not in the Torah. It could be not even really with the rabbanim. But over here on Daf Samach Daled, somebody is giving something to a katan. So I am the meicher, I'm the noisein, I'm giving something to the katan. That's what's called an halacha, das acheres machda. There's another das, there's a das of a machda, there's a das of a meicher, das of a noisein here. When you have das acheres machda, that's a whole different ballgame. And then, believe it or not, the katan can be zocha mid the araisa, and maybe even mizach lecher mid the araisa. Maybe no, we're not sure. But at least to be zocha la'atzma, we can be zocha mid the araisa. So this is the answer that many Rishonim give, and we're going to be working with this answer in the duration of the sugya, that there's a fundamental difference between das cheres matnoso versus not das cheres matnoso. Now, Tosas made a double assumption in this couple of lines. They assume that such a distinction exists, but they up the ante on the distinction by saying that it's a real svar medaraisa. Tosas learns the sugya in Gittin for technical reasons is really on the level of deraisa. And this principle called das cheres matnoso really truly works on a level of deraisa, which of course is going to need a lot of work. If you want to create some kind of a svar and be the mamonis with deraisa, you have to explain to me what it's based on, what's the mamonis, what are the parameters of such a statement. So Tosas is a dual chiddush. Chiddush number one, that such a concept exists of das cheres matnoso, and that is the distinguishing feature between the two sugyas. And number two, Tosas upped it a little bit by calling it a level of deraisa. Now, truth to be told, it's not absolutely muchach in the sugya that Tosas is correct. Because if you take a look at Rashi on Samach Daled Beis, so Rashi says, Zoche afli acherim, says Rashi, one word, umidirabonon. Nobody has Rashi to put in that word, but Rashi seems to understand that the entire sugya, this is a dirabonon dikur sugya, it's not a deraisa sugya altogether. So Tosas may be right, that there's a concept that says machta, so, but to elevate it to a level of deraisa, Rashi seems to deny. But Tosas Tamaisa sticks to their guns that there's such a thing called das cheres matnoso. So we have beginnings of our work cut out for us. Again, Let's not forget, we really want to get back to Kedushim and Beis, but we probably won't get back to that today. We want to get back to Kedushim and Beis and understand what those words mean, Ish Zoicha V'in Katan Zoicha. What, how do you understand that in context of general Zechuyos that a Katan has? But we bump into the Sphere Gemaras, we realize that the answer is Das Ches Machnas, and we just saw Machlokes Rashi does developing, is this a Svar Deraisim? So we have to do a little bit more homework on the what's before we get to the why's. We have to just make sure that we understand this idea of Das Ches Machnas, so what it's doing, how often it pops up in front of our faces in Shas, what other sugyas are relying on this principle, so we can give a little more teeth, a little bit more oomph to Das Ches Machnas. So before we get around to asking the fundamental question, just how does it work? What are the mechanics? So we're still trying to find a way through a couple of sugyas in Shas, which introduced us this idea of Das Ches Machnas, so before we try to understand why, how, what the mechanics of how it actually works. So one of the sugyas, also if you take you have a Gemara Sanhedrin, some of those who have it, those want to grab off the
there's one up there. I don't know if that's.
No, I'll tell you.
I wasn't. There is one floating one on two shelves below.
Two shelves below.
I don't know if that's.
We have a shot here.
Missing.
Oh, hey.
Yeah.
Is that
it? It's on the very beginning of the 8th paragraph of Sanhedrin. It's on some Ches of the day is going into the Samach Ches Med Aleph. So comes the Gemara on the bottom of some Ches of the days, and it's actually the Sugya Ben Sura Mora. The Gemara is trying to figure out whether it's possible for somebody technically under the age of a mitzvah, for a boy at the age of a mitzvah, to potentially be molded. Could he potentially cause a woman to become pregnant? Does that possibility exist? So comes the Gemara and says, three lines on the bottom, the Amar Rabbah, katan eino molded. The Gemara says that by definition, it's not going to happen. Now, even if biologically it may happen, we may halachically declare that if it happens, then it turns out he's not a katan anymore. So it may be a little bit circular reasoning. So the Gemara is discussing, can you have this phenomenon halacha that a child is still a labar das, he's not putting on tefillin yet, he's not getting aliyahs, and he's already a father. Why is that important? It's important for the sugya ben sura mora, but again, not for us right now. So Rav is going to try to prove to you that in halacha, a katan ain't a moivid. That those two statements cannot coincide together. You can't still be a katan and still have a child. Shinemar, how did he know this? Based on the following complicated drush, Shinemar, im ein la ish goyel. Pasuk in Parshas Nasa speaks about somebody stole. Reuben steals from Pliny, and normally we know you have to give it back. The problem is that the person is no longer alive. So what's the big deal? So you give it to the Yerushim of the person he stole. So all of a sudden the Torah says, no, the person has no Yerushim. Then ein lo ish goyel, he has no Yerushim. So now what do you do? So the Torah is a chiddush that the Gazan takes the money and he brings it to Yerushalayim and he gives it to the Kohanim who happened to be in the Mishpat at that time, and then he brings his carbon, etc., whatever he needs to be mechaber. Fine. It's not just a regular Gaza. He's a Gaza who stole and he took a shvuah falsely. So it's a special look. He has to bring, give back the carrying, give back the value of what he stole. He has to add a chagash, bring a korban, a whole 9 yards. So the Torah introduces that parsha, and parsha's not so by saying, Vim ein lo ish goyel. He doesn't have any goyel, there's no yorish. So the Torah says, what do those words mean? V'chiyesh techa adam b'yisrael she'ein lo goyel? It is impossible. Everybody has a goyel. Everybody has a yorish. If you have children, they're your Yerushim. If you don't have children, so then your father's your Yerush. If you don't have a father, your grandfather, your uncle, your cousin, somebody on your father's side, every single Jew has to have a Yerush at some point. Everyone goes back to Yaakovina, back to Shvatim. Someone there could be a 15th cousin, but he's still your Yoresh, he's still your Goyal. So what does it mean, Mechiv? Ein la'ish, v'imein la'ish Goyal. So we have a tradition, Ish b'Pirish Ad Meish Ravenu, that this is what's called the Perish of Akubo Misinai, that the interpretation of this pasuk means as follows. Chiyeshcha Adam Yisrael she'ein la'goyal. So Gemara says, Ela begezel ha'ger ha'kosuk medaber. That it's talking about the person, the victim of the theft, was a ger. Now the ger, Taka doesn't have any yorshim, because halachically his non-Jewish parents aren't related to him. Even if his non-Jewish parents subsequently convert, they're technically not really related. Gesh is Gaka and Shinola Dami. So his brothers, his cousins, are both, but even if they all convert en masse, the whole family convert, no one's related to anybody else. So he, Taka, doesn't have any yorshim. Unless, there's only one way for a ger to have yorshim. If he has a child. So that's what the pasuk says. L'gez l'ger kos v'daber. V'yom rechamon, the Torah says, Ish, v'mein lo ish koyel. If it's a ger in front of me, and I stole money from this ger, the ger died, I can't just assume there are no yorshim. I have to make sure there are no yorshim. The main go, better check, do your homework, make sure and find out, does he have a child or not? So you have to make certain. But the imlav, I'm sorry, imyeshlo golem imlav, I'm sorry. Katan, since the Torah writes, v'im lo ishkoyel, Katan, to teach me, for a katan, there's no need to do your homework. You don't have to do any research. Why? You know for a fact that the victim is a ger, and he's a katan, there's no way under the sun that he has any golem, because he can't have golem, because he can't be a father, he cannot have any children. So comes the Gemara and says, you see, from this extra word, ish, teaches me, ish, yes, katan, no, that a katan ain't a golem. The katan doesn't have any yoshim, katan doesn't have any children. Again, a regular Jewish katan, he has a lot of yorshim. He's got his father's, his brother's, his uncle's, his cousin's, his grandfather, whoever it is. But the ger shemei sve no yorshim. The only potential yorish was his children. Clearly, this person doesn't have. So I can't divvy anymore. So why are we doing this sugya? What does that have to do with dinim avinus? So there's a huge tosfos on some chesim beis. But tosfos says, wait a second. Tosfos says the whole sugya is talking about I stole from this ger, and I stole from this child. This 8-year-old ger. I stole from him, and the Torah says, don't worry about it, you don't have to bother looking for any yorshim, no yorshim. In fact, Torah is a very, very simple question. Where are you getting money from in the first place? The whole parish of Gezel Ger is presupposing that he owns property. Where in the world did this ger get any money from? How in the world did he get any property stolen? So Tosa starts working to try to figure out. And Tosa says, they dug up the Gemara in Maseches Gittinah Samach Dalam Beis, where Tosa says, skip down a few lines, the first one line is Mihu. Tosa says, maybe that Gemara in Gittinah Samach Dalam is going to come to the rescue. Umiyo beperaka makabel, gabi tsuor bezoch, erugs in not lozoch, yatz zoch lecherim, chavis bachzil yachashah zoch, yatz lecherim, mash for the hanem deraisa. Again, it tells us that a diyuk from the Gemara. We'll leave out what the diyuk is. It sounds like that sugi is deraisa. So then we can skip down a little bit. The first little one is v'hadisnan, a couple lines down. How could he be konim with deraisa? But v'hadisnan manizokim b'tzeschesh v'geish v'gelzei dar k'sholom. But with deraisa lo. So a big surprise. Tosa says exactly what they said in Maseches Gittin. Daschas magnas on shiny. Says Tosfos, the answer, the solution to this dilemma, where in the world did the ger come and get money from, is the same answer to what we said in Gittin Samach Daled, how we have a Zechiv and Deraisa. It's based on that Sesmachna. So now Tosfos just bolted to their argument. They just supported their theory. They came up with this razzle-dazzle dual Chiddush in Gittin Samach Daled. That number one, there's a principle called Aschas Machnaso. And number two, that principle works, it's binding in a Torah. And now they have a Gemara in Sanhedrin that fits in really, really neat, really, really nicely into their theory. Of course, who's going to be on the defensive now? Rashi. Because according to Rashi, Taskel Makos is a really nice thing, but it doesn't work in a Torah. If it doesn't work in a Torah, what's going to be the problem? We're trying to dash a pasuk. We're trying to learn a deraisa. Sanhedrin samaches samachtas the deraisa the pesugia. We're darshing pesukim. We're being medayik in pesukim. As the Torah speaks about gezel hager when he's a gadol, in contrast to gezel hager when he's a kotel. According to Tosfos, that a ger kotten can own property based on das nesmatnas, everything is great. But according to Rashi, that the whole institution of das nesmatnas itself owning the rabbanon, that poses a very, very serious problem. So obviously, Rashi doesn't go down the route of Tosfos. So, what other route can we go down? How in the world can a kotten ever end up with any property whatsoever? So Tosfos solves the problem. Tosfos saves the day for Rashi also. Tosfos says, we think our answer is right, but it's not the only answer. There are other options, other routes to go down to show how a kotten can own properties. If you skip down the Tosfos a little bit further, the first one line is V'yesh Svar. It's about where the lines get really, really wide, so up a couple of lines, about 5-6 lines up from there. I guess it was a bracha that people didn't go through because on the phones it's kind of hard to read through this Tosfos. Now I got Gemara's for a few people, so it's a little bit easier. So, if you take a look, it's first one is V'yesh Svar. We got it? So Tosfos says, Oh, Mishkachas Lach, Mother Eitza, how this kid ended up with property. She'yesh Lomom on the Kotlan, Gon She'yor She'spavim, Kodim She'yesh Gayer. Before he converted, his father died, his Goyesh father died, and he was Yorish on the property. K'nyaminu break out of the Kedushin, Devi Kicham Yorish Zav Dvat Torah, Shinemak Yerusha Be'esa Nasat Yisar Seir. So Tosfos dug up a Gemara Kedushin, Daf Yitches, that a goyim, there is Yerusha, Ben is Yorish Aviv Min HaTorah. So that's how we got the property. And then when he converts, that property continues with him. He doesn't lose rights to his property. He don't say, yes, this guy can't show he loses all his property. He continues to own whatever property was Zoyche as a child. So then Tosfos says, and in case you didn't like that answer, I have another one. Inami b'maisei yodov, the malachta b'schar tircha shalom ederaisa. He went to work. He's babysitting. He's an old youth group leader. He's going to make a couple of dollars at the ripe old age of 8 years old. So whatever he works for, that for sure he gets min HaTorah. A kotan can't pick up something to become min HaTorah. A kotan can't participate in kinyanim min HaTorah. But if someone's mechuyif to give him the money, al tzchiros, if somebody enters an agreement with him that if you babysit my kid, I'm going to give you $20, so that becomes binding. And when the Baskiu, when the Malavayis pays him the $20, that money becomes his, even on level of their Raisa. Even if you somehow don't buy into the other terms, if you don't like Das Chesmakos, so if it comes their Schirus, then it does become his Mederaisa. So this Gemara in Sanhedrin Samaches only proves to us one thing, that we have to find some kind of a hechetim to some kind of a scenario that a child can own property, and it has to own property in Min HaTorah. That's a given, because otherwise the whole drush about Gezel Giyakov, the whole thing doesn't make any sense. We have to go up with some creative scenario that a kotten owns property. So Tosfos says the best scenario we come up with is Das Nesmatnas, which is all part of our theory back from Gittins of Sefer. But we are respectful of the fact that not everyone buys into us, including our great grandfather Rashi. Rashi held that Das Nesmatnas is not Kona Min HaTorah. So Tosfos went out of the way to show you a couple of two other Rukimtas, either Derech Yerusha, Derech Schirus, etc., to try to explain away why this Gemara is not an absolute ironclad proof to the concept of Das Nesmatnas, but it's nice. It fits in nicely, says Tosfos. It is a little bit supportive, albeit not absolutely convincing.
Can
it
cut them be a ger, like a real ger?
Yeah, oh, that's another kasha. So you're asking another kasha. Wait a second, how did he become a ger in the first place? So the answer is he became a real ger based on the principle of ger kotem and pilno sotas based it. That's a throwback to what we spoke a little bit. We touched on this at the very end of the show last week about when talking about apotropos. How does that happen? So that's either based on Zochman Shobafanov, it's based on Bezdin, based on other things. There are a lot of reasons. But the pashas is that there is such a thing as a Gevkot on a level of Derais, and that is support actually with this Gemara. Tosfos in Ksubis has a little bit of a dichoy that maybe this Gemara is not convincing, but the pashas in the Sugi is there is such a thing as a Gevkot even on a level of Derais. Good, so far so good. So we started out with this, with the premise. We really started out with the Gemara Kedushin Mabez, where the Gemara talks about being Zoicha and Korban Pesach, and the Gemara needs a positive to say the Kotten can't help us with Korban Pesach. Frek the Rishon Makasha, a Kotten can't own anything. Not so simple, not so fast, not so posh, a Kotten can't own anything. Yes, it's true that he can't own something which is the Metzia, that he can't own in the Torah, but Derech, that's his Makasha, so he can in fact own the Deutsches place, even all of Deraisa, as supported by the Gemara Sanhedrin, supported but not absolutely convinced. So now Tosfos makes reference to another Gemara. We could not see the Gemara inside, we can see it's quoted in Tosfos. Let's go back for a moment. The line is still skinny in Tosfos. It's about four lines up. from where the lines begin to get middle-sized. So the first word on the line is Osan, Osan Shiny. Okay, so it's still the skinny lines, four lines up from where they end. V'hashta nichas istosis. Now that we just explained this whole shtikl Torah called Daskas Machnosel, and we just sold you on the fact that it works min haTorah, now we understand the very cryptic Gemara Maseches Sukkah. V'hashta nicha hadiyam perch lulav ha'arava, lo likni inish lulav ha'liyanuka, tiyanukna make nikani afnir lo makne. The Gemara says, very famous Gemara Sukkah, the Gemara said that you should be careful on the first day of Sukkot not to give your lulav to your child, any child for that matter, because the child will acquire the lulav. If you give it to him, it will become his, and now he's not going to have the halachic mechanism to give it back to you. Now, why is that a problem? Well, if I already shook a lulav, it's not a problem. If I didn't shake yet, it's going to be a big problem, because the lulav has to be lochem. So the Gemara says, be careful, don't be foolish. You spent $200 on a beautiful lulav, and then you blew it by giving it to your child. So make sure, shake it first, and then give it to your child. If you live in Chutzlots, that's not going to help you, because it has to be Lachem for the second day also, according to most Rishonim. So that's going to be a big, big pickle. But let's say you live in Israel, it's easy. So shake it first, then give it to your child, because the second day, Shaul is kosher. Anyway, Bar Mulu is kosher. But on the first day, don't give it to your child first. And the way the Gemara formulates the concern is, the likni inish lulav el yanuka, the yanuka mikni kani, the child will be kane, akinuyelo makni. He can't give it back to me. So Tosu says, wait a second, what does that mean? What does that mean that he can be kona, but he doesn't have the mechanism to give it back to me? How is he kona in the first place? I thought that a cotton can't own anything. So Tessa says to us, no, he can. To make me kona, I feel me deraisa. That they dasa ches machno, son zoich me deraisa. The chayim of Yosef, etc. Liatz, the kuliyam. So says, tells us, no. If you give it to him as a gift, so you're invoking the principle dasa ches machno. So now he owns that move in Esrog, on a level of deraisa. If he owns it to a level of deraisa, he can't give it back to you. And now you're in a problem, you're in a pickle, you don't own, it's not called lachem. I can't give you a thesis. How would Rashi respond to that?
It's not his to begin with. It's only a midrabbanan level. So you're never giving your makdid on the midrabbanan level to
him. So the Chor, according to Rashi, are you solving the problem or creating a problem?
On his
line. Going to Rashi, is the Gemara good or not so good? Not so good.
No.
It's very problematic.
Right.
So according to Rashi, I don't know, so according to Rashi, when I gave it to him, he wasn't kona in min haTorah, because Rashi never heard of such a thing called Daskas Matnas HaMidaraisa. Rashi said, get me a favor, Shmidirabonon. So according to Rashi, when I gave it to him, he's kona only Midirabonon. What's the Gemara want from me? He can't give it back to me. What's the answer?
He never owned it.
But he does own a midrabanan. What's the problem? Why can't he give it back to me? But the answer is that midrabanan, he owns it. And there's no tikkun sechom that enables him to give it back to me. The chomo masakah that he can own things. There were never masakah that he can give things back to me. And therefore, according to Rashi, it's not a problem with the raisa. Mid the raisa, I can give it to my child and still use it because it never really becomes his. But midrabanan, once chazal masakah, which Tachan Chacham, where is that Tachan Chacham recorded? In Gittin, that's Sabach Dalet. That's the Sugi of Gittin Sabach Dalet, according to Rashi. That's what Rashi said, the magic word, Midir Rabbanan. So according to Rashi, there's a concept that was made up Midir Rabbanan, principle called Daskas Machnas, on the love of the Rabbanan. So now Midir Rabbanan, he owns the Lulav, and now if he wants to give it back to me, he can't even give it back to me at all. Not Midir Rais, not Midir Rabbanan. So now it's fighting. On the level of the Rabbanan, you're right. On the level of the Rais would be okay, but on the level of the Rais, we have to observe the Rabbanans also. So I can't be, I'd say. So L'chor, that's how Rashi would read the Gemara. That's the Pasha that's born in the Sugya according to Rashi. But we're in for trouble if that's the case. Because the Mishnah in Gittin also tells us, another Mishnah in the sense, it tells us, that a child who reaches the age of what's called pe'utos, pe'utos means he understands business, he understands buying, he knows how to go to the store, handle a little bit better than some adults. So he reaches the age, he's 8, 9, 10, 11, 23 years old, he's gil onus ha-pe'utos, but the rabbanon he can buy and sell. He can even sell. He can even give things up on a level of the rabbanon. So I don't understand, according to Rashi, what's the problem? Bishlo, according to Tosfos, that midaraisa, he's called a base in Daskas Matnaso, and midaraisa, he can't give it back to me. So I understand why I'm in a predicament, why I can't do that. I can't give it to him because I can never get it back with the midaraisa. But according to Rashi, midaraisa never left my rishus. Midaraisa, it's in my rishus. So according to Rashi, If you're paskening based on deraisa, take your definitions of bylaws, it's always my minatara. There's no way for me ever to give it up. Never to zecher or minatara. If you're telling me that we follow the rules of midrabanan, he's coming to go. I give it to midrabanan, and I invite to get it back to midrabanan. So what's the wrong one? What's the problem? What is pshat in Gemara and Sukkah? What's the problem? So come a group of Rishayim and say, you know what the problem is? How old is this kid? Who said he's a Gila and a Saputus? Maybe he's 5 years old. Gemara doesn't say how old he is. So come a group of Rishon and say, according to Rashi, the only way to learn Shabbos Gemara is to say, if he was old, 12 and a half years old, and I want to give it to him as a matana, that's great. We'll be cutting the Rabbana. We'll be matching that to the Rabbana. But if he's only 5 years old, so he can still be Kona, because for the shear of being Kona things, you don't need a Yilam Sabutis. As long as he knows how to play with rocks, whatever. He's a little kid, he's a little baby. But he knows a little bit, so he's old enough to be Zochem the Rabbana. Yet, he doesn't have the ability to be makna back to even midirabonim. So midirabonim have a problem. So at the end of the day, in the Rashi, in the Tosis, I'm going to be stuck in a predicament where I transferred ownership and can't quite get that ownership back to the right degree that I'd like it back. Whether it's a real problem along with their ice like Tosis or a problem there, I'm like, Rashi, that's up for grabs. That's a machlokes rishon maseches. So when all the dust settles, Tosis collected three different gemaras that are driving home this force, this principle called Das Kas Makdusel. They're very, very convinced such an idea exists, and they're very convinced it exists on the level of Der Aisa. There are three very, very compelling Gemara. One is the Gemara Gittin and Daf Samach Dalet, that speaks about being Zechel Yatzpo, the Acherim, even in light of the fact that Metzias Chesh on the curtain is garnished, is nothing, not even Gezel Medirban, at worst, it's Dachish Shalom maybe. So there's one significant Samach Dalet that introduced this idea of Das Kas Makdusel. Tosus thought that it's probably at a level of their Isa. They had a deal for the Gemara about their Isa. And then to both of their argument, they showed you two other Gemaras that also the underlying principle. Notice that in none of the Gemaras does the word Gemara ever say what? The Gemara never even uses the words Daskas Magnus. Not in Gittin Samach Dalet, not in Sedhebin Samaches, not in Sukkim and Vav. There's no mention anywhere about the principle called Daskas Makrazo, but those are just connecting the dots. They're showing you different Gemaras which are presupposing that a Kohen is owning something, and each of the Gemaras are presupposing that he owns it in Torah, says Tosfos. So therefore, the only way to explain this phenomenon is to come up with a chiluk, some kind of difference between Metzias Chesh and Kohen and Gittin Samach Dalet. And the answer is Daskas Makrazo. It must be Deraisa, and therefore all three Gemaras now make perfect sense. Gittin Samach Dalet makes sense, Sahed and Sabaches make sense, and Sukkim and Sukkim. Everything's great. And Rashi says, I also could see there's such a principle with Das Kas Makdusel, but I don't see anyone in Gittin that's Deraisa. I don't see anyone in Sanhedrin that's Deraisa, because you have a problem how a Kohen owns property, says Rashi. I'll give you two other Eitzes. You yourselves give me two other Eitzes. Yerusha, Schirus, there's no Kohen. You want to say the same food? What is even raised? Guess the Kohen doesn't even raise the question how the Kohen owns property. Not even the topic. Tosfos had to raise it. I get double the commands and super that's a raya brush and a chuba. The Das Kas Makdusel is their eyes. Says Rashi, what are you talking about? There's no such Gemara. The Gemara doesn't say anything. The Gemara just meant that you're going to be the Rabbanan. You take a quick look at Rashi. Quote Rashi. Rashi and super talking about the base. But the Gemara says, look the Inish Hashan the Yanuka. Because the child is meknakani, so listen to how Rashi says pshat in the Gemara. It's gevalt, it's terrible. The child's going to be kind of it. Listen to what Rashi says. The rabbanan takinu leizachil nafshei. The chachamim were misakin that he can be kind of things derech daskas machnasel. This is Rashi lishin tosef. Rashi in Gittin said the rabbanan. Rashi in Sukkah said the rabbanan. Rashi never heard of daskas machnasel working with the Rashi. So if I say, if you live in the world of Rashi, you don't have to go up with any grandiose hagdoras. You don't have to go up with any razzle-dazzle hagdoras in halacha. How does it work? Chum instituted, they felt, because the tzarecha ktanim, to make life easier for the ktanim, make life easier for us. It's a good business practice. They decide to institute this idea. But if you hold like Tosfos and all these three different sugyas, that there's a real din deraisa that's playing out here, how does it work with deraisa? Based on what? Based on who? Based on where? What kind of din deraisa is this? So we're going to push the question back a little bit and learn another sugya. It's also very difficult to understand. But sometimes when you have two kashas, come to the teretz, and they say one kasha is a kasha, two kashas is a teretz, three kashas is a yisoid, and four kashas is a shir kloli. That's the one. Okay? So I don't know if we're going to have four kashas, but at least we'll have two kashas. So kasha number one is what, where, who, what kind of dindaraisa is this? What's it based on? Where does the magic hocus pocus come from? Your kind of thing's been dindaraisa because the other guy's giving it to you. What's the magic? What's the mechanics of that? Let's go back to a sugya Masechet Gittin. On the Chof on the Beis. So at the end of the Amud of Chof on the Beis, that's 7 lines on the bottom, starts with Boi Rar Bechama. Here's the line, Boi Rar Bechama. There used to be little this tablet. That's a little tablet, this piece of paper. This writing, this item that we're writing on, used to belong to her. Everybody knows it belongs to this woman for the last 20 years. Forget Kosovo Lev. And there happens to be a text of a get that's now written. Her get is written on this tablet. And now the husband is holding on to this tablet. And he's about to present it to his wife as the get. What's the problem? What's the potential underlying problem? We have a lot of potential problems, but the problem that we're focusing on now is, who owns this tablet right now? Who owns this piece of paper right now? Who owns this scroll right now? Doesn't the parashat Gittin presuppose v'chosav lo sefer krisus v'nosim v'yodah, he has to give it to her. If he has to give it to her, that means he has to own it at some point. So who owns this tablet? So we know that she owned it for the last 20 years. So the only way to explain away how we could possibly be mashed this get is to assume that when he said to her, listen, I want to write a get, I don't have any paper. So she said, no problem, here's my tablet. And she hands it over to him. What did she do by doing that? She was machnet to him. So the Gemara wants to know, is that really what happened? Ma, what's the deal? Ni amrina nakanuya kadisile. Do we say that she understood this, she had this in mind, she really wants to be marked it to him? Like Dilma, lo yada laknei, she doesn't understand what we're talking about. Even we'll tell her, we'll say to the woman, please make sure to be marking it to her. She doesn't know what you're talking about. It's a different language of God. It's interesting, you know, there's a din when we ready to get now. Ready to get today, so no one's using the woman's tablet. The cipher comes with all the equipment. He comes with his paper, with the pens, with the ink, and everything. So we have a practice at the Shem Institute that we make a formal kinyan on everything that the cipher brings. We give it to the husband as a matana. So the husband picks up the whole box. Everything the cipher comes in with his big briefcase, and the person picks up the whole hakom mikoko, and he's kind of the paper, and he's kind of the pens, and he's kind of the ink. So we shouldn't have any shashashas that it didn't belong to him. B'shas ma'isa. So the chalik's been showing me you really have to do that. Otherwise, that's what the minhag Yisrael is. I remember one time I saw a get being written, and the fellow was writing the get was so off the beaten path, he was so off the day, he didn't know anything. You know. The kosher knew that he was Jewish, so it wasn't even clear whether they needed a get, but she had to write it. Gets the SSA, they convinced him he wrote a get. She really, really wanted a get. So I'm not sure they were ever even married up here, whatever it was. They wrote a get. So I remember he's looking at us like not sure you know what hit him. The only thing I remember is that he said, listen, he has about an hour to do this because he has a flight to India and he's never coming back again. So that's why she rushed us up before he disappears off the deep end in the mountains of India. She wanted to make sure she had a get in her hands. So he says, Mamash, on the way to the airport, the guy comes in with a suitcase. He says, I don't want to kill from sugar. And we're sitting there running it with him. So I remember two things caught my attention that he must have thought we were absolutely stark, Mamash, absolutely completely bananas. Cipher, you guys are a long Chassidish guy. Picks up this big briefcase and he says that I'm giving this to you as a gift. It's totally clear. The guy got like startled. You know, kind of a bomb. I don't know what was inside the briefcase.
Don't take it on the plane.
Yeah, don't take it on the plane. Yeah, that was number one. And then the second thing where I think the guy couldn't even begin to have a son had a wrap up his hands around this was we have a minute when we give a get that. In case the guy's a real, conniver, so he may have theoretically done what's called Mesiris Mildah. He may have appointed Eidim beforehand, stating that everything he's doing is under duress and nothing should really be valid. So if a Baal is Mesiris Mildah, that could throw into question the validity we get. So what we do is to offset that long shot chance that he may have done such a silly thing, we insist Bishas Maisa, right before he authorizes the get, we tell him to be Mevatel any Mildahs that he may have had. So once he's Mevatel the Mildah is Batel, Mildah is Batel, then the get is given him Ritzono. But then the Rishonim write that we're afraid that the guy's one step ahead of us. He may have been Mevatel any Bittel of any Mildahs. So we have to get it one step ahead of him. So we have to say, when Mevatel, we tell him, we want to be Mevatel any Mildahs and any Bittel of any Mildahs that he may have said. What are you afraid of? So finally, the Rishonim should not care with the following lashon. Something along the lines of that a mevatel any mildahs and any mildahs of any mildahs of any mildahs of any mildahs at seifa olam that could potentially disqualify. And finally, we nab him. We get him. So he says a 16-line thing in Hebrew about mildahs of the mildahs, the mildahs, the mildahs. So now, when you misadar a get for people who are not from Ghana, it's not in Hebrew. So the whole thing is a joke. So you have to translate it all into English. So there's a whole text, the RCA has a whole text, based in about how do you run a get. Shulchan Aruch has, how do you run a get in Hebrew. Then in Yiddish, and you're in Europe, they used to have, how do you run a get in Yiddish. And then you have, how do you run a get in English. So there's a text out there. So the text has something along the lines of, I'm hereby negating any, I'm revoking any possible revoking that could have potentially revoked any of my revokings. And the guy, please stay after me. And the guy's sitting there looking, these guys absolutely out of their minds. It was about chapter 5 and he didn't walk out and just go fly out the kite in India. But he went through the whole thing. Anyway, getting back to the story. So Rabbi Nachum is not sure that when we say to this woman, please hand over your tablet to your husband for the purpose of writing a get. Does she really chop what we mean? Does she understand the significance of it? Does she really truly be mocked at him, which could potentially throw a whole monkey wrench into the get? So Amr Abaye. So Abaye says, I'm going to bring you a raya. Amr Abaye. Toshma. Afu Eid of Far Kotan Shev B'tzad Yerushalayim. There was a Mishnah Maseches Eidos. There was a small village outside of Yerushalayim. Maybe it was Beit Mehir, I don't know, whatever it was. Telstone, a small village outside of Yerushalayim. And there was one Zochin, though. The rest of the people, they were farmers, they were hillbillies, they didn't learn too well. There was one Tamil Chacham in town. And sometimes he was well off, he would sometimes lend money to the people in the Kfar, in the village. So they would sometimes have to write Shtaros. Now, what's supposed to happen when you write a Shtar is that the person who's obligating themselves is supposed to be providing the shtar. But these guys didn't know how to write, they didn't have any paper, they didn't have anything. So he used to write the shtaros. He was the malva, he was the wrong guy. He's the one who's lending the money, but the other guy's supposed to write the shtar. So he would write the documents on their behalf, and that was okay. But the problem was, wait a second, who owns the paper? Isn't there a din that the lovim, it was called the Das of Ischai, is supposed to own the paper for the writing of the documents? So what's the answer? It must be that the zokein must have been makne the paper to the people who are borrowing the money. So the Gemara wants to say that works. That this child made it to the chacham, and the chacham decided, they said it's okay. So frak the Gemara v'yamai, have inan sefer mikne v'leika, anytime we write a shtar, the matne, the dasa b'schayev, has to own the sefer, and you don't have that. It must be that it's understood that the zokei knew to sell the paper to these people. So the Gemara says, just as the zokei knew how to sell the paper to the people, so to the woman knows how to sell the tablet also. So the Gemara says, what? I'm a rabba. Well, my kushya. Do my zokei shatter the other one? The zokei is a top chacham. He's a rabbi. He knows what he's doing. He learned Gittin Dachav Lubeis. The woman doesn't understand what's going on. She doesn't know the intricacies of his Gittin. So when the Zokin knew he had to be marked in the paper, but the woman had no idea whether she really truly had to be marked in the paper. So the Gemara says, there's no raya from the case of the Zokin. So stop this Gemara for a moment. What did the Gemara just say? That it's quite possible that your average person doesn't really understand the nuances of being makne, koine, for the purposes of writing shtaros and gittin. They don't really chop it. Only the great Tamil Chachamim really understand what's going on. So the case of the Zaken was alright. Because after all, the Zaken understood what had to be done. What's the Kasher Gozer? The Zaken understood what had to be done, but it takes two to tango. He had to be mocked in the paper to who?
To the hillbillies.
The hillbillies, they don't know anything. They just knew they wanted some money. They didn't know anything. It was Kfar Echad, a bunch of guys, farmers, now they didn't know anything. I think, well, it's okay. Shani Zokin, the other Lekinu. As long as the Zokin knew what was going on, that's good enough. So comes the Rashba on the spot and says, wait a second. You see something unbelievable from this Gemara. That if I want to be mocked to something to you, as long as I chop what's going on, you don't even have to know what's going on. You don't even understand what's going on. You're not even aware that you're getting something. That's fine. There's no need for the person who's being zochen and something to understand what's going on. So Frech the Rashba Kash, the Gemara Yevamos in the fifth perk, says that if I pick up something from the floor, that's hefker, and I didn't even realize it was hefker. I thought it was mine. I didn't even chop what was going on. I thought it belonged to me, and now it turns out that I picked up as hefker. The Gemara says it's nothing. I'm not kind. You know why? You didn't have das kainah. You didn't know what you were doing. You can't acquire something without understanding you're acquiring something. Frech the Rashba. We have to make up our mind. Do we require the kainah to be aware, to be cognizant, to understand in order to be kainah something or not? So you have a Gemara getting that fafalaf that implies there's no need for the kainah to understand what's going on. And if a Gemara Yevamos that speaks about, yes, it's necessary. What's the answer, everybody say? Oh, the answer is daskas machno. So the Rashba says the answer to this dilemma is it must be that getting some chavalot is different because daskas machno. So everybody say, is this the same daskas machno so as Toysis? Sounds like it is. They're both examples of cases where the Kona is not supplying das, albeit for different reasons. In the Rashba scenario, the Kona is not supplying das because he doesn't understand that he's supposed to be Kona. In the case of Tosfos, the Kona is not supplying das because he's a what? He's a Kotan, and Alpi Halacha he can't. What's the difference? If at the end of the day you don't have das Kona, both the Rashba, Gittin Daf Chof, and Tosfos, and Sanhedrin, and Sukkah, and Gittin, are all saying the same Yisoy. That as long as there's a Machna there, we don't really care all that much about the Kona. The Kona could be either literally a lab bar das and a Kotan, or he doesn't know what's flying, he's a hillbilly. Kotan, hillbilly, well, it doesn't matter what it is, we don't really care. All we care about is the Machna. So this is another example of the principle of das and Machna. So play out, albeit a slightly different nuance of the scenario, but it's the same underlying question. So what we've accomplished tonight is the what. We haven't even begun to touch on the why or the how. We've identified the principle of Das Nes Machnaso coming back time and time again throughout Shas. Coming to Tosos, the Isaac, the Rashba, the Rabbanan, the Rashba is using it to get in the Fuf. And we're still back to square one. How does it work? What are the mechanics on the level of the Isa? Make up your mind, you need Das Kona or not. If you don't, so then why can't Matthias Cheshire become the Isa? If you do need Das Kona, how in the world does Das Nes Machnaso somehow alleviate the need for Daskan? Hopefully, next week we'll try to pick up on this thing.